Well, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Kat read from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and in verse 5 it says, "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves." You know, the old saying was that even though they say that there's no prayer in school, as long as there are tests, there's going to be prayer in schools. And I can see Susan over there nodding her head. Yep, that's absolutely. Well, the truth is that none of us really want to examine our lives that carefully. Because if we do, we're afraid that we might find out something that we really don't want to know about. And so we kind of avoid doing self-examination. But the beauty of this is that we are liturgical Christians. And as liturgical Christians, it's built into our structure that we do have to examine ourselves. That's what the season of Lent is about, for a time of self-examination and repentance. But we also have auricular confession to a priest, and we have built-in accountability because we're a hierarchical church. I'm accountable to a bishop. We are accountable to the authorities that are above us, whatever level we're on. And so we have to be in a position of examining ourselves from time to time to make sure we are, as it were, measuring up. Right now, for all of us, it's a good time for us to practice what St. Paul says in verse 5. Test yourselves. See if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. We are in this world, right now, a time of crisis. But the beauty of it is that we kind of get confused about what crisis actually means, because a crisis is not, by definition, bad. A crisis is simply a time of change. It's a time to be redirected. And it's important for us to examine ourselves that we be redirected in the right way. It was Thursday night, we had a meeting of the clergy, and the bishop asked if anybody had a word. And the Lord gave me a word about right now for all of us in the United States especially, but primarily for us as Christians in the United States. And that is that right now the Lord is squeezing us. He's squeezing our nation. He's squeezing us as Christians. And it's like when you squeeze a piece of fruit. If you squeeze an orange, you get orange juice. If you squeeze an apple, you get apple juice. He's squeezing us to see what fruit, as it were, is going to come from this squeezing. Is it the fruit of the Spirit, or is it the fruit of the flesh? What will come out? What is it that the Lord is testing us to see what it is that we are putting in, as it were? Remember the old saying about garbage in, garbage out in regards to computers? Well, the same thing is true for us spiritually. Garbage in, garbage out. Let us be of the people who are going to put the good stuff in, the Spirit, those things that are of the Spirit, that the fruit of the Spirit may come out. And so it's time for us to examine ourselves. What changes does God want to make in us personally? What changes does God want to make in us as a church, both parish and the larger church? The truth is, we can't change anything. We can only allow ourselves to be changed by God. We don't even know what needs to be changed. Only God alone knows what needs to be changed. So how do we figure this out? What do we do? How do we go forward from here? Well, the answer lies, believe it or not, in our Trinitarian God, the Trinitarian nature of God. Paul says in verse 14 in today's epistle that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is that triune God. He changes those who come to him because he will pour out his grace, he will pour out his love, and he will call us into the fellowship that we may be remade in His image, in the image of the Godhead, in the image of love. So how does this happen? Well, Paul tells us in just three verses in this very epistle, there are eight imperatives, eight commands that Paul gives us in just three verses, in verse 5, verse 11, and verse 12. And so let's look at those together. In verse 5, he says, test yourselves. That's an imperative. Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves. That's also an imperative. Examine. What this is, this verse really relates to the love of the Father. The word test yourselves is parazete, and that is the Greek word. It's the same word that's used in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, regarding Abraham. He says in Hebrews 11, 17, Abraham, when he was tested, and there's that word, he offered up Isaac. Abraham trusted and believed God's promises. He knew that Isaac was the promised child that he had been praying for 27 years. And now God is saying, go and sacrifice your son Isaac. He didn't question God. He obeyed God and he went forward. He was put to the test and he trusted that God was going to do exactly what needed to be done. And so he believed God's word, and God in his love gave him back Isaac and gave him the promise that he had given 27 years before. God is love. And for Abraham, this crisis was a test to see whether he was going to stand firm in the love of God. And he stood fast on God's word. So test yourselves. Are you standing firm in the word of God? The second word, examine yourselves, is dokimazete. It's the same word that's used in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, regarding the Holy Eucharist. Paul says in that verse, let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. He's asking, are you walking in loving relationship with God and with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Remember, we took those baptismal vows again last week. We renewed our baptismal covenant when Father David and Father Chris were there for the Pentecost service at the church. And in those baptismal vows, my friends, listen to the vows that you made. There are two of them that are absolutely essential and important for us right now in terms of examining ourselves. Will you seek Christ, seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? The second one is, will you respect the dignity of every human being? Now, this is an important question for us. It's an important thing to ask in this time, because obviously there are an awful lot of people out there who aren't really doing much to respect the dignity of every human being or loving their neighbor as themselves. And it's something that we really need to examine. Are we in right relationship with God? Are we in right relationship with our brothers and sisters? Not only in Christ, but others who live in this world who may not agree with us, who are troubling to us. Are we living in communion, and should we be going to Holy Communion if we are not in right relationship with others in the world? We have no power to do this within ourselves. We need the love of God. There are a lot of people out there I find it very, very, very difficult to love. I'm sure I'm unique in that way, but regardless, I find it very difficult. Without Christ, without the love of God the Father living in me, I would have no ability to love my neighbor as myself. So the love of the Father is unconditional. He loves me even though I'm not always in love and charity with my neighbor. And I have to ask Him to fill me with that love. Even Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, when Judas was at the dinner table with Him, Jesus said to His disciples, love one another. And then He adds, as I have loved you. Now that's something to examine. Do I really love others with the same love that Jesus showed for me? He died for me. That's something to examine. All right, that's the love of the Father in verse 5. Now, if we skip down to verse 11, we have five more imperatives. And these all relate to the grace of Jesus Christ. The first one is kaireta, and that means rejoice, although it's often translated goodbye or farewell in this particular verse. I believe that's how Kat read it, was goodbye or farewell. Goodbye, I believe it was what it was, yeah. What it is kaireta is a Greek admonition, yes, to rejoice, but it is also a greeting. It's like in Hebrew, the word shalom. Okay, you say shalom when you see somebody. You say shalom when you depart. It's peace. Or in Hawaiian, aloha. It's a greeting. What it means is rejoice. And Hugh Morris and I had a nice little conversation about this earlier this week. I love it. I love the fact that Hugh ends all of his emails with rejoice always. And that's a fabulous way. That's a wonderful greeting, but it's also an admonition that even in these times when we can't understand what's going on, we need to rejoice. We need to give God the chance to fill us with His joy. And so when Paul says to the church at Philippi, "Rejoice in the Lord always," again I will say rejoice. He ends that exhortation with this little word. He says, "And let all men know your forbearance." Even in these difficult times, if we rejoice, if we live in the joy of the Lord, we are a witness to the power and the glory of God at work in our lives. It's not about being happy. He doesn't say, "Be happy always." Again, I say, "Be happy." No, he's saying, "Rejoice. Be filled with the joy of the Lord." For as Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is our strength." Grace alone can do this. The grace of Jesus Christ. It's a free gift. I can't always rejoice in all these things that are going on, but I can turn to the Lord and ask Him to fill me with His joy. Amen? Amen. All right. That's one thing I miss about preaching on Zoom. I can't get your amens, but all right. So everybody just go like this, okay? Yes, yes, yes. All right, there we go. Okay, that's good. All right. Katartizatha. I know you guys will remember that, right? Okay. What that word means is be perfected. And it is in the passive tense, okay? It's not something we can do. We can't perfect ourselves, but we can be perfected by Christ. And I looked that up in Kittle's Theological Dictionary, and one of the definitions that Kittle's gives is that we are to be established in Christian character. I love that. To be established in Christian character. God is the one who does the perfecting. God is the one who does the changing. God is the one who transforms us into His image. It's not by our effort. It's by the grace of God. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10, he says, "After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." That word perfect in 1 Peter chapter 5 is the same word that Paul is using here in 2 Corinthians. But notice how it is. After you've suffered for a little while, anybody feel like we might meet that criterion? Okay, yeah, all right. After you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. That's good news. That is really good news. God of all grace will work out the perfecting of us, confirming us in the faith, strengthening us, and establishing us. That is the grace of God. All right. The third word here in this verse is parakaletha, which is to be encouraged or to be comforted. All right. Last week, Father David talked to us about peace and purpose and power in the Holy Spirit. And in that section on purpose, by the way, do you all ever go back and listen to the sermons again? You know, they're online. You can go back and listen to them again. I listened to Father David's sermon twice more this week after hearing it on Sunday. It was a wonderful word, Father David. I just thought it was a very timely and very important word for all of us right now, to know the peace of God, to know the purpose of God, and to know the power of God working in our lives. So I just encourage that for you guys. Listen to it again. But in that section on the purpose, he said that we are sent. Jesus said, I am sending you. We are empowered by the grace of God, and we've got to remember that it's not something we choose, that Jesus chooses us. We did not choose him. And he sent us. We are not going in our own power. We are not going in our own strength. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 31, Paul says, you can all prophesy. And in chapter 14, verse 1, he says, earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. If we're being sent, we need these gifts to do the work that he has called us to do. And that's the power part of this. That's the empowering of the Holy Spirit to do the work he has called us to do. And in that we can find comfort, and in that we can encourage one another. Because if we're prophesying to one another, if we're giving words of wisdom and words of knowledge, if we're healing and we're doing miracles on behalf of Christ, we're building up the body, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians. And that's God's grace. We receive the gifts of God for the building up and the encouragement of God's people. All right. The fourth word in this verse is phroneta, which is to think the same way. And what Paul is saying, if everybody will just think the same way Father Bill thinks, there won't be any more problems in the world. Yes. And everybody goes, I see a couple of no's. Okay. All right. Never mind. Yes. But what Paul is saying, actually, Paul said it in chapter 2 of Deacon Mac, you're going to say something? Oh, I'm going to mute you again, Mac. Sorry. All right. Anyway, in Philippians chapter 2, Paul really puts this whole thing in context and helps us to understand what he's saying. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 2, he says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being in full accord and of one mind. To think the same way, to agree in Christ Jesus. That's what government by consensus is about, is not seeking for everybody to think one way in a worldly sense, but to have the mind of Christ that we may move forward in Christ to do the work he has called us to do. And he goes on in Philippians chapter 2 in verse 5, he says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. If we are in Christ and we have the mind of Christ, then we will be walking in the communion of Christ and doing the work of Christ. And Paul goes on to say further in that chapter about, he describes the humility of Jesus in accepting the cross and the shame. We may not, having the mind of Christ does not mean that we will all be in hog heaven, as it were. There's a lot of strife. Even Jessica was talking about this in having accepted that call to do that art fair, how the enemy is coming against her. Yeah, that's what's going to happen. If we're walking in Christ Jesus, we're walking against the flow. And so it's all the more important that we have that mind together, that we share the mind of Christ. We think the same way. We agree in Christ Jesus, that we may be of encouragement and support to one another as we follow in the way of Christ. And that's the grace of God. All right. The last word in this verse is eirene, which is to be at peace. Eirene, peace. By the way, I was thinking about Christopher's dog. You know, Irene is what, that comes from the Greek word eirene, which means peace. I don't think Irene really understands what that word, what her name means. So anyway, but yes, that's what it means, peace, to be at peace. And that comes as a gift from God. And now Father David preached a wonderful sermon on that last week, so I'm not going to try and reiterate what he said, but I do want to quote one of the words that he gave, and I think it was from C.S. Lewis, which is, God cannot give us peace apart from himself. Is that Lewis? Was that Lewis?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's Lewis. All right. God cannot give us peace apart from himself. And so what Paul is saying to us here is, to be at peace is to be in Christ. Okay? We cannot create peace for ourselves, no matter how hard we try. We can't conjure that up. That's something that is a gift from God that God gives to us. We are exhorted in 1 Thessalonians 5:13 to be at peace with one another. But it's not just being at peace with each other, it's being at peace with Christ, to be at peace with God the Father, to be at peace in the Holy Spirit, so that in their power we can be at peace with one another. Okay? And in Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13, Paul says, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can't do it alone. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in that, we can walk in peace. As David pointed out last week, really, folks, it is. It's about relationship. It's about relationship with God. It's about relationship with one another. And that brings us to the last imperative. And that's found in verse 12. Aspasatheth. I know you can remember that one too, right? All right. So what that says is to greet one another with a holy kiss. I don't know what a holy kiss looks like, but I've got to tell you a funny story about it. Bill Henniger was a biblical literalist, and he was arguing with me one day about how, you know, it doesn't say greet one another with a holy handshake. It says greet one another with a holy kiss. Why don't we kiss each other? And, you know, I talked to him about, you know, it can also mean to embrace, to hug, whatever, you know. And then as he got up to leave, I walked over and I placed a big sloppy kiss right on his cheek. He never once asked again about why we don't kiss each other. I'm not sure why he never asked again, but anyway. But that was fun. I had a good time doing that. I wish Carol were here. She would have enjoyed that story. Anyway. But the Greek name for the Holy Spirit is Paraclete, okay? Paraclete. And that literally means the one to call alongside, all right? It means to call to be with you. And that's what that fellowship, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We're calling upon the Holy Spirit to be with us, to walk with us. More importantly, for us to walk in him. All right? That's what the Paraclete means. When we're walking with the Paraclete, we're walking with the Comforter. We're walking with the Counselor. We're walking with the Empowerer. All right? And we can then, if we're walking in Christ, in the Holy Spirit, we can encourage, comfort, and exhort one another, and to counsel them in the Spirit. And that's what Paul is encouraging us to do. And so that's why he's calling us to the test. Are we in this together? Are we walking in fellowship? And you've got to remember that if we're walking in fellowship, we're walking with the fellow, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit. We can't do it alone. So, let me repeat those eight imperatives, okay? We are to test ourselves. We are to examine ourselves. We are to rejoice. We are to be perfected. We are to be encouraged. We are to think the same way. we are to be at peace, and we are to greet one another in the Holy Spirit. Now, I don't expect you all to remember all of those as soon as I finish preaching, and so I'm going to exhort you to do the same thing that I exhorted you to do with Father David's sermon. Go back, listen to it again, and even more importantly, open up 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and read them for yourself and study them, because you know what? There will be a test. This is your homework, okay? There is a test at the end. Are we walking in Christ Jesus? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with you if you are walking in Him. Amen.